Welcome to Good News for a Change, a video and audio podcast on the Gospel with Father Constantine Lazarakis of the Dormition of the Virgin Mary Greek Orthodox Church of the Hamptons in Southampton, New York. In this episode, the Sunday of the Blind Man.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Boldness is a game changer, is it not? Remember Michael Jordan? I mean, he had extraordinary skills, and I hated him because I'm from Utah, of course. I mean, he was an incredible athlete, but one of the things that Michael Jordan had was that intangible presence on the court, that boldness. I'll never forget in 1997 when Michael Jordan pretty much single-handedly beat the Utah Jazz in the finals, and he pushed off of Byron Russell. I just want everyone to know that that did in fact happen. But that aside, you know, Michael Jordan came to Utah with the flu, and when they were interviewing him, he was sweating. And he had a fever. Of course, the media played all this up. But he was physically ill. He was at about, 60-70%. Nonetheless, he went out onto the court and he played with heart. He played with panache. He played with confidence. He had a certain kind of boldness about him. And when we encounter boldness, it causes us to rethink. It causes us to question our assumptions. Sometimes it even causes us to change our mind or to realign our priorities or our behaviors or our patterns. And today's gospel reading is such a wonderful and rich gospel reading. I mean, we could talk about so many different aspects. As a matter of fact, when you look at the church fathers on this passage, many of them have, page after page after page. There's so much to be analyzed. But in order to isolate something that we could focus on today, one of the things that really occurred to me about this gospel reading is that it is a story of boldness. It is a story of boldness on the part of Jesus. It is a story of boldness on the part of the blind man. And it is a story that requires a bold response from the hearer, from the listener, from me, and from you. Right? So I want to look first at how boldly Jesus behaves in today's gospel reading. Jesus does three things, and these three things assert irrefutably that he is the fulfillment of the promise of God. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Savior. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. So they clearly show us that he is the Messiah, but not only do they show us that he is the Messiah, but they reveal his divinity. So in today's miracle, Jesus makes two bold claims about himself, and he makes them irrefutably. Remember, so the first indication that this is boldness is that we're talking about a man who was born blind. And remember, later in the gospel reading, the man, when he's arguing with the Pharisees, he says, "Not since the beginning of the world has anyone restored the sight of one born blind." Okay, maybe your eye is injured. Maybe that can be restored. Maybe that can be repaired. But this is a man who from infancy never had the capacity for sight. Who knows if his eyes even developed? Who knows what could have possibly been wrong? But no one in the history of the world. So There was something at the point of his creation. There was something at the point of his conception. There was something immediately in his DNA that kept him from seeing. And so what is Jesus doing? Before we think about what Jesus did, so there's one bold thing. Let's just mark that. One bold thing. He's restoring the sight of one born blind. And now what does Jesus do? Typically when Jesus heals in the gospel, he lays his hand, somebody touches the fringe of his garment, he gives a command, get up and walk. It's pretty standard how Jesus does these things. But he breaks out of his pattern here, and he spits on the ground. Pooh. I mean, that's weird. He spits and he picks up the earth, and with the spit from his mouth and the earth, he forms clay. Now, what scriptural reference does this send our minds to? Anybody remember Genesis? Yeah, thank you very much. When we read the book of Genesis and we read the creation account, we read that God formed Adam out of the earth. So something went wrong at the point of creation for this person that resulted in him never developing the ability to see. Now the only one who can fix that, the Creator, goes to the material from which he created the man and creates eyesight in a person for whom eyesight had never been created. Do you see that Jesus is not only healing a human being, but Jesus is demonstrating his divinity? He's saying, the one who formed Adam from the earth in the Garden of Eve is the one who is restoring sight to the blind man today. So Jesus boldly performs a miracle that no one else has never performed before, and Jesus boldly pronounces his divinity. And when does Jesus do this? Anybody remember what day he does it on? He does it on the Sabbath day. He does it on a day when it is prohibited by the law that governs his religious infrastructure. Now remember, we're Christians, we're not Jews because we follow Christ, right? Here. But Jesus was not an outsider disregarding the Sabbath day. Jesus was an insider. Jesus and his disciples were all not only Jews, pious Jews, synagogue-going Jews, believing Jews, right? Observant Jews. And yet Jesus performs this healing on the Sabbath, knowing full well that it will raise red flags for the Pharisees, for the Sadducees, for the Father Constantines of the world. Right? Knowing that the religious leaders of the day will object to this work being done on the Sabbath. And what is Jesus boldly stating here? He is boldly stating that the Sabbath is his. That he is the Lord God. He is the anointed one. He doesn't exist to observe the Sabbath. The Sabbath exists that we might observe him. And then he demonstrates this divinity through the miracle, through the means of the miracle, through the clay and the spittle and the restoration of the sight. So Jesus behaves boldly. And why does he behave boldly? Because he wants the people who encounter him to radically change their perspective, to orient their lives towards him and towards the saving message of his gospel. I think we really underestimate just what a radical teaching, what a radical set of teachings Jesus' gospel is. We just take it for granted because we have even secular, we have secular values now. Like human rights and stuff like that, you know, everybody's created equal. And we think all that is just normal human behavior. It's not. It's behavior that humans have received from the Judeo-Christian tradition. Jesus' teachings are a radical revolution in human ethics. A radical revolution in human ethics. No longer take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but if your brother slaps him, turn the other cheek and let him slap the other cheek. How many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? Forgive them 70 times, 7 times. A radical revolution in human ethics. Boldness in Jesus's person and in his healing. And when the man who's born blind, his sight is restored, you know, the Pharisees come to him, and the Pharisees, they really want to get Jesus, like, killed, expelled from the synagogue. They want him out of the picture. Because as far as they're concerned, he's just bad business. He's going to totally shift the status quo. He's upsetting people. And out of fairness, I have to say, they're probably very nice, reasonable people. Right? If somebody came in these doors and started telling me, hey, Father Constantine, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, even though you've been doing this for the last 2,000 years, it would be very hard for me to accept. So I think we need to have some empathy for the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But unfortunately, even though we're empathetic, we have to recognize that their hearts were hardened. Right? And so they want to kick Jesus out of the synagogue. And so the man who was born blind knows that he is going to be expelled from the synagogue. Now, he's already a Jew living in under Roman authority. He's already a second-class citizen. Now he's going to be kicked out of his little enclave. Where is he going to go? He has everything to lose. He has everything to lose. I don't know if you've ever been under that kind of pressure where you have to say something you don't want to say. Or say that something's true that you don't really believe is true. Or you have to betray someone who you really like and know doesn't deserve it. I don't know if you've ever been in that position. It's a terrible feeling, and it takes a lot of courage to rise above that feeling. And yet, because he had received the healing of the Lord, the blind man with boldness says, "What do you mean you don't know where he comes from? He opened my eyes, and you don't know if he's from God or not?" Hey, if it works, it works. And when he was kicked out of the synagogue, Jesus approaches him, and Jesus says to him, "Do you believe?" And he says, "I believe." When they say, and my favorite line, the boldest thing he says, is they say to him, "Where is this Jesus now?" And he says, "Why did you want to know? Did you want to become his disciple as well? I'll show him to you. Do you want to hear more about his teachings?" But note how boldly and bravely, knowing the consequences, that he admits his discipleship. Now look at what the gospel does for us today. It shows us how when we are healed by Christ, when we are touched by Christ, when our hearts are changed by Christ, we are emboldened. We are given courage. We are given strength. We are given panache, energy from God. Isn't that amazing how God vivifies our lives when we give our lives to him? And the last thing I want to talk today about, how do we make that happen in our lives? How do we get that boldness? How do we get that energy? How do we plug into that life force that is God, that allows our faith not to be put down, but to be blown up? How do we find that? Where do we get that from? And I'm going to say something that I think might be a little counterintuitive. In order to be bold, we have to be humble. I'm going to repeat. In order to be bold, we have to be humble. Sometimes we have a sense of false humility, right? Oh, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm just going to be quiet. Just whatever you want. That isn't really always sincere humility. Sometimes being humble means that you don't care so much about yourself as you do about the truth. So you're willing, even at some cost to yourself, to promote the truth, to defend the truth, to speak the truth. Right? When we are in energetic service to ideas, to ideals, to people greater than ourselves, we are at our most humble moments. And that might be quietly putting our shoulder to the wheel, or it might be loudly calling on the troops, proclaiming the fight. But in order for us to be bold in the Lord, we must be humble towards the Lord. We have to be willing to give our lives to Him. Not 3 hours on a Sunday, not 10 minutes in the morning, not Bible study once a month, and that's what I've given to the Lord today or this month or this week. We have to be willing to give our will to God. That's what the blind man was willing to do. He had God's Spirit healed him, and so he gave his life. He was kicked out of the synagogue. He didn't care, because he knew that what he was receiving from God was far more valuable than anything he could receive from the world. And when we can serve the Lord with our whole selves, morning, noon, and night, and as we move along that continuum and give more and more of ourselves over to God, we will find that we are emboldened, energized, and vivified by His healing presence. I thank you for your attention. I pray that God continues to bless and keep each and every one.
You've been listening to Good News for a Change, a video and audio podcast on the Sunday Gospel with Father Constantine Lazarakis. To hear more, visit the Orthodox Christian Network at myocn.net. That's myocn.net.